So this week is the holiday for the 4th of July. I like to call it Independence Day. I think it says a little bit more of what the day is all about. And so we're taking a break from our summer of Proverbs to preach a message called Independence Day today. I really like history. I want to encourage you parents to take some time, help this country, help yourselves by taking the time to research and find on your own the true history of the United States and teach it to your children. I know we have a great school systems here, and we probably get more than most, but we do not know the true history of the United States anymore. I want to give you this website if you want to get some good books and things to read for yourself and teach your children. It's called wallbuilders.com, wallbuilders.com, and there's really some great things. You may find out that the American Indians early in the Revolutionary War called George Washington bulletproof because they shot him at point-blank range so many times they believed there must be some type of divine power on him that he was not injured. Now, you don't hear that in our textbooks, but those are some of the divine providences that show up in our history. Just a small note that you might have never heard. So today, or this week, is Independence, tomorrow? No, Tuesday. Can't get here fast enough. I told someone in the lobby, actually it was Miss Elaine. I don't know if y'all remember or if you guys heard this, because I say different things in different services, but on Father's Day, I was standing out in the foyer, and I said, today I'm gonna. They asked me what I was doing. I had all four kids here, and I said, well, I'm going to smoke some ribs. And two of our ladies were like looking funny, like I was talking about, you know, smoking some ribs. And I said I wasn't going to call their names, but it was Morgan and Miss Elaine Stennett that said that. And we really laughed and had a good time. And so today, Miss Elaine said, what are you doing for the 4th? I said, well, I'm going to try smoking again. And she just started laughing. But this time I'm going to try to smoke a Boston butt. I don't know. I promise you, I had not thought that out. Come back, Holy Spirit, please. I hope you have a good time on the 4th of July, but Independence Day, a lot of times we don't know this. Let me say this, church. This is not a matter of political opinion. If you read history, our country was founded on the principles of the Bible and Christianity. When our forefathers said religious freedom, they were talking about freedom to worship Jesus Christ without imposition or interference from the government. All right? They were saying, we are not just talking about worshiping anyone. We want freedom to worship Jesus Christ the way we want to worship. If you look in the Magna Carta, some of the documents before the Declaration of Independence, you will hear this kind of language. Now, I'm a little bit of a history buff, not like some of you in here, but it's important for us to know this. And of course, it's not all about America. We're going to find out it's all about Jesus. But things have been turned around in our history, and phrases have been taken out of context, such as the phrase separation of church and state, all right? That's not in any of our documents. That phrase is not in any, it's from a letter written from a Presbyterian preacher to Thomas Jefferson. Did we know that? Okay? It was never meant for our government not to be godly or involved. Look at what the forefathers say. Look at some of their quotes about the Bible and about Jesus. I am not standing up for or approving of any of our forefathers' moral character. I did not know them personally. I can't speak to their moral character, but I can read history in our documents and know that they believed in the principles of God in the Bible for the foundation of this country. Now, because of that, because of Christianity, if you want to be a Buddhist in this country, if you want to be Hindu in this country, if you want to be a Satanist, if you want to be homosexual, you have the freedom to do that. But it's largely because of the freedom of a Christian nation. If you don't believe that, go to a Muslim nation and try to do and be exactly what you want to be. Ooh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. So I think it's good for us to know the true history of the United States. And man, does it ever compare to being free in Christ. Today, I want to talk about Independence Day. Let me start by reading a portion of the Declaration of Independence. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. How many original colonies were there, children? Thank you for that. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Now, if some of you have a little problem understanding that early American language, what they're saying is there comes a time when enough is enough. There comes a time when you can't agree politically and you can't agree with those who govern you, and this is based not on opinion, not on rebellion, but on godly principles, then there comes a time when you have to state the reason for your separation. So this is what they're doing. They're stating it. They're coming together, and they're going to state why. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I tell you what, it gives me chills just to read that, just to think of what came out of that. I lived in Savannah, Georgia for 2 years, very, very historical city. It's like a smaller, don't take this wrong, but it's like a smaller, cleaner New Orleans. But I like New Orleans too. But Savannah has all these squares that the city was planned around, these squares, and there's plaques everywhere. And you start reading these plaques, and it's people that you've heard of in history, and people like John Wesley, who was the founder of Methodism, big influence there. Well, my favorite square in Savannah, on Monday mornings, I would go down to the bank every Monday morning because we didn't have automatic deposit, and there was a good reason for me to be there every Monday morning. And so I would get a cup of coffee after going into the bank, and y'all want a commercial? Let me give you a commercial. I became great friends with two of the tellers in the bank. I would always go in there and cut up with them. We'd have a good time. I'd tell them what's going on at my church, going on. And when I met Lisa, I told them about Lisa, and they were so excited for me. Two girls, they both left the bank. Well, Lisa and I were walking in New Orleans a couple of times ago when she was here, and guess who we ran into? One of those girls from the bank that I had been friends with, and I got to introduce her to Lisa. Isn't that crazy? Has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on. So I would go down and sit in this square and have my cup of coffee. And in that square, there was a plaque. Johnson Square is one of my favorite. There was a plaque that read, on this spot, on such and such date, the Declaration of Independence was read to an enthusiastic crowd. Can you imagine that? Just like our evening news or looking at our news on online or looking at our Facebook feed, that we get this message, this new message. Well, that's how news got around back then. To an enthusiastic crowd, it was being declared that we are about to declare freedom from the tyranny of England, freedom from a tyrannical government, freedom from taxation without representation, freedom from things like laws made to constrict and control and not having laws that would lend control to the people. Just as real as that became by me standing in that square and reading on this spot, on this day, the Declaration of Independence, this brand new document was read to a crowd of enthusiastic people. I want you to know, every time I preach or anybody preaches or teaches the Word of God, especially when we're gathered together, it should be going out to an enthusiastic crowd, reminding you that there was a declaration from heaven, there was a declaration from the cross of Jesus Christ that has set you free from the law of sin and death, has set you free from hell and damnation and punishment, and given you life. Amen? That's what we're talking about today when we talk about Independence Day. As we look at independence, I want us to talk about spiritual independence. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15 through 18. Now, Moses had been talking to the Corinthians about the past and how Moses received the law and how the law really caused a veil. People didn't really understand. Jesus had not come to earth yet, so he had not died on the cross. And so there was still a veil, and the law actually caused a veil, because when the law came, it revealed sin, and it showed man how he was never going to be able to live up to the law. So they had to constantly sacrifice animals and go to the altar and let the priest go before them. So Paul is addressing this, and he says this: even to this day, when Moses is read, and what he's talking about is the law, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. What does that mean for me, Pastor Keith? That means when you come to church and you think about all the rules that you're breaking, and you think about how bad you are and how you cannot measure up to being a Christian, and how you're not as good as people that go to church, or this, that people that go to church think they're better than you. I can tell you this, for this church, we all stumbled in here with a problem this morning. Not one of us are perfect, not one of us have it together, but we call on Jesus, and we're covered in the blood, which means we've asked forgiveness. And let me just say this, you have to be smaller than whatever you hide behind. Somebody tweet that. Put that on your Facebook status. All right. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. You are not to come into the presence of God or come into a church service and feel like there's a veil. So listen to what Paul says in verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, this is not about religion. This is not about rules. This is not about the law. But when they turn to a personal God, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Everyone say that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Say it again. I'm going to come put the mic in your face if you're not saying it out loud. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is here today. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord is here today. That means there's freedom from you. Freedom from fear, freedom from lack, freedom from poverty, freedom from sin and shame, freedom from bitterness, freedom from anything that keeps you bound. Because if you're not free, then you must be locked up, bound, or enslaved. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces, now our faces have been unveiled because we've seen Jesus. We've accepted him, so we don't walk in this darkness anymore. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That means it's getting better and better. Pastor Keith, it doesn't feel like it's getting better and better. It's getting better and better. It doesn't look like it's getting better and better. It's getting better and better. I don't know when this stuff, I don't either, but I can tell you, according to the Word of God, he is bringing you into glory, and he is bringing you into freedom, and if you can stand the stretch, he'll pull you through. Amen? Amen. Amen. Look at how Jesus talks about freedom in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What will set you free? The truth. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? They're saying, look, that generation has died. We weren't slaves in Egypt. Why? We're not bound. We're not slaves. Why are you telling us we need to be free? Then he says this. He says, Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you." Now, I've told you before, anytime you hear Jesus say "very truly," or in the King James, he would say "verily, verily," that means pay attention. I'm putting emphasis on what I'm about to say. I think I told you it's like when my older brother would say, "Listen up, sugar man." Now, what that meant was he's about to say something you better pay attention to, because he wasn't calling you sugar man because he thought you was sweet. He was calling you sugar man because if you didn't hear what he was about to say, it could get bad. Are you listening to me? So listen up, sugar man. Jesus is not being aggressive, but he is saying, hey, listen to this. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins. And so if somebody would come in and say, I'm not like church people think they're better, any of that, all of us sin. We all have that in common, all right? Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. See, Jesus came to set us free from sin. We still battle sin. Yes, we still miss the mark and we fall, but we are no longer slaves to sin. Sin doesn't rule over us. We have an advocate with the Father. We have a deal with God that when we sin, we come to in Jesus' name. He forgives us. He forgets it. And he grows us that we learn not to sin. Isn't that great? All right. If the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. Now, I like the way Jesus handles this. He goes on and says, I know that you're Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. Yeah, boy, Jesus talks straight to the religious people, right? Jesus can be very unchristlike sometimes. Yeah, we might think it's unchristlike when a preacher talks like that or someone says that, but remember who he's talking to. He's not talking to a bunch of people that are out there sinning in the world. He's talking to people who claim to know God. And he said, okay, yeah, you claim to know God, but you ready to kill me. Ooh, I can't preach on that. I'll steal your joy. All right. So Independence Day. I want us to talk about what it means to be free. What it means to be free. What does it mean to live in freedom? When our forefathers decided to come together and write the Declaration of Independence, it was a call for liberty. Liberty simply means that we are living without imposed constraints on our life. That no one outside of us is imposing unfair or unjust constraints on us, that we live in liberty. Liberty does not mean, or being free does not mean, that you do exactly what you want to do. We all have had chances in life to start doing just like we wanted to, I bet you. Hey, it happens a lot when we grow up and leave our parents' home, right? And we think, yes, I'm free. Ooh, I'm about to be free. It's on like a chicken bone. I'm going off to college. I get to college. I don't have a curfew. I can stay out as late as I want to. I can drink and party all I want to. I'm free. Yeah. Even my teachers don't care if I come to class or not. They don't even take roll in college classes. I can skip all I want to. Then after a couple of months, I'm failing. I got a DUI, I'm in trouble. And there's 100 different ways that can play out, not only with kids, but with adults. But it's any time that we take our freedom and do exactly like we want to do, that's not freedom at all. It becomes chaos. And the very thing that we thought would free us winds up binding us. And what we thought was going to be a season in our life becomes a lifestyle in our life. And now we're living enslaved and in bondage. Woo. So freedom is probably not defined like we define it. I'm going to get deep here with you for a second. Sometimes when I do this, people get it wrong. And all they're going to hear is I quoted Chris Christopherson and Janis Joplin. Oh, get over it. Chris Christopherson wrote a song called Bobby McGee, and it was made popular by Janis Joplin, and there's a line in that song that says, freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Now, I'm not saying that's where we're getting our authority this morning, but I wonder if there's any truth to that. I wonder if a simple definition, even a biblical definition for freedom, might have something to do with nothing left to lose. Well, let's look what some things that freedom really is as we approach that point. Freedom is being free from the flesh, first of all. Paul points out that we are no longer slaves to our flesh. And when I say flesh, that simply means that part of us that is sinful, that we constantly live to satisfy ourselves. And when we get saved, our spirit comes to life and God saves our spirit. But our mind, our will, and our emotions, that's our soul or our flesh. And we constantly have to bring it into subjection. Are you listening to me? Into subjection to the spirit. In that way, that's how we live without being controlled by sin. But sin still lives in us. How many of you you've walked with Christ for a while, you're a Christ follower, but you still understand there's still some sin in me. Come on. Even Pastor Logan raised his hand. Y'all didn't see him, but I just want y'all to know, one of the godliest men I knew. I can't imagine what it is. He probably forgets to say the blessing sometimes. I don't know. But all of us have sin in our lives. But we are not slaves to sin. So freedom is being free from the flesh. Remember, I told you that liberty means living without imposed constraints. And your flesh, your past, wants to impose constraints on you. Bitter and angerness and loss wants to impose constraints on you. Physical torment, sickness and pain wants to impose constraints on you. Sexual abuse has imposed constraints on you. Divorce has imposed constraints on you. And when we live under the effects of all these things, which in some way or another are the effects of sins, either sins we've committed or sins that have been committed against us, then we do not live in liberty, but we are living in the trap of unforgiveness. We're living in the trap of bitterness, in the trap of anger, in the trap of shame, in the trap of holiness. Holiness, wow. Where did that come from? In the trap of bitterness. Sometimes we live in the trap of our own definitions. Men, I want to speak to men right here. Sometimes we live in the trap of what we define as freedom, what we define as manhood, what we define as what really counts in life. And I have a heart for you guys. Listen, I'm a man just like you are. Don't be fooled by my pretty shirt. I had to wipe the mud off these boots before I put them on this morning. Men, we should not even subconsciously sometimes, I think we leave church, being spiritual, being involved in ministry and those kind of things. Somehow we've left that to the women to a large degree. Men that are involved in service and in ministry and in spiritual leadership, I commend you. Those of us who have not gotten there, I challenge you. Whether it's just in your home, wherever it is, don't fall for the false definition of freedom. Freedom is not doing what you want to do. Freedom is living free from what your flesh wants to do and doing what the Spirit of God wants you to do. Paul said this. He said, yes, you have freedom. You can come to church or not come to church. You can love God or not love God. You can be patient with your wife or be impatient with your wife. You can nag your husband or not nag your husband. I'm just trying to meddle a little bit. But he said, don't waste that freedom that you've been given. Oh, sometimes in America, I feel like we're wasting our freedom. And I don't mean to, and I have children that are in the millennial generation, but I see so many, and go back a couple of generations, where we are losing the awareness of what it takes to be free and what it costs to be free. And we've wasted our freedom in America on doing anything we want to do. We're free to be whatever we want to be, say what we want to say, shoot people in traffic, live immoral lifestyles. And we've wasted our freedom in America. And now here's Paul going back thousands of years saying, don't waste your spiritual freedom on your own selfish desires. The best way to live free from the flesh is not to be selfish, but understand you have been given freedom so that you can share freedom with someone else. Freedom is being free from the flesh. Freedom, excuse me, also is living in the truth. Everybody say, give me some truth, preacher. I would just give me a chance to take a swallow of coffee there. Freedom is living in the truth. Jesus told us in that scripture that I read that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I read a book that I reference a lot because I read it in I read a book in 1984. It sounds like that's the only book I've ever read, but I was a high school graduate in 1984. I graduated in 1984. I know, right? It wasn't 94. I know that's what some of you are thinking. But in 1946, a man named George Orwell wrote a novel called 1984. So in 1946, he was writing very futuristic by writing a novel called 1984. And so in 1984, I read that novel called 1984, which was written in 1946. So y'all with me? And I've shared some of this with you before. There are some terms from that book that you are familiar with that you probably, some of you have no idea came from that book. Have you ever seen the show Big Brother or heard the term Big Brother? That was in that novel from 1946, and it wasn't about a reality show. It was about the fact, which, by the way, I've never watched that show. I mean, not that it matters. I'm just saying I hadn't. But anyway, but I have watched soap operas back in the day. I will say I did that when I was in high school. Has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on. Big Brother in the novel was the government that could see everything. They could see everything. Now, I don't want to stay there long, but there was a lot that he wrote that didn't make sense, and it was about a whole changing of the identity of the people. That when something happened, they would archive newspapers and they would cut out what they didn't want to be in history and they would reprint it so that when they archived it, you couldn't go back and prove history. Now, that sounded really strange in 1984, but today, when you try to go back and prove history, that we are a Christian nation, that we are founded on Christian principles, that we are founded on the family and marriage to a man and woman and all kind of things, are you hearing me? It's hard to prove history in America today. But as a Christ follower, you need to prove and know your identity. The greatest way that you can live in truth is to live in the truth of who you are in Christ Jesus. You are righteous through Christ Jesus. You are loved no matter what. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. You are not to live under condemnation. You are not to live under the cloud of shame. You are not to live in bondage, but you are to live in freedom. Understand the truth of who you are. That's the greatest truth that you can walk in, is who Jesus Christ has made you to be. And when you start making life decisions based on who you are in Christ, somebody tweet that. When you make life decisions based on who you are in Jesus Christ, not what your flesh wants, not what the church says, not what my tradition says, but who I am in Jesus and what he tells me to do, that's living in freedom. Yes, it is. Amen. Freedom is living in truth. One of the hardest battles for me in my life is when I lost identity. When I went through a time where I lost my career, my ministry, my marriage, my finances, I lost identity. Now, I didn't know it. When I was going through it, I realized that. I could see it, but I couldn't do anything about it. It's called denial sometimes. You know it's there. It's really deep down. It's there. But somehow you keep it under the rug, or you numb yourself, or you use other coping mechanisms to escape. And so for years, I wallowed in pain, coping, trying to live on one hand, do the right thing, take care of kids, on the other hand, in absolute pain and sorrow and regret because I had lost my identity. It's impossible to live the life in freedom that God wants you to live in if you don't know who you are and you don't live up to who you know that you are. Some of us are living down to something we're not. We're living down to the past. We're living down to the hurt. We're living down to the shame. We're living down to the sin, and it's time for us to live up. Because listen, while I was over in that my little shop that was away from my house, and that's where the washer and dryer was, and that's where I had to go do laundry. Y'all remember my little crying story about that, okay? When I was in there, God saw me in there crying. He saw me in there angry. He saw me in there trying to drink until I could forget. But see, he also saw me right here today preaching to you, because he is not bound by time, and he is not bound by space or matter. Right now, he can see Adam taking a bite of the fruit in the Garden of Eden. And right now, he sees Jesus coming back on a white horse. There is no span of time for him. He is timeless. So right now, he already sees you free. He sees you in a better marriage, the marriage you're in, by the way. He sees you with finances being redeemed and restored. He sees you free from addiction. He sees you free from the past, because he knows who you really are. The greatest truth you can know is the truth of who you are in Christ Jesus, and that truth will set you free. Can I give you just a little bit more this morning as Trey comes, and I'm running out of time? True freedom is always sacrificed for. That's something we try to teach to each generation. True freedom is always sacrificed for. I had to fight my way out of that season. Jesus had already purchased the victory, and he saw me free. But I had to engage the fight to be free. Paul said, you don't fight against flesh and blood, but you fight against spirits and principalities. You fight against your own flesh, and you fight against demons and demonic powers. And he said, your weapons are not an Abrams tank. Your weapon is not an Apache helicopter. Your weapon is not an automatic 50 caliber weapon. Your weapons are of divine power. You have to pull down strongholds and objections in your own mind and be free. Everybody say free. Free. Live free in your mind and in your spirit. Let me give you something right here. To live in the truth, and to live into protection, and to know how to sacrifice for freedom and fight that fight. I can talk about fighting, and those of you who will say amen every once in a while, I think I can get you to say amen. But I want you to know how to live this. I want you to walk out, and let's make sense on Monday and Tuesday how to do this, okay? All right, so in the Old Testament, when they were fighting, most of the cities had walls around them, all right? And so if you could control the gates of a city, you could control the city, because it was the gates that allowed people to come in and bring in supplies. That may be how you got your food or your water, just anything that you need. And then it was out of the gates that commerce went out, and that's how you got your money. So if you controlled your gates, you controlled the city. If you controlled the gates, you controlled the city. Say that. If you controlled the gates, you controlled the city. Now listen, we're talking about fighting and sacrificing for freedom, that no freedom comes without sacrifice. Thank God for our military in the past, in the present, for those who have sacrificed and given all. But our fight, I want to give you two ways to control the gates of your city. These eyes and these ears are gates to your soul. All right? Whoever controls the gates controls the soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. I want to emphasize one more time. I don't think I'm going to have to preach this. It's pretty clear. You need to call on the Spirit that gives freedom, because where the Spirit is, there is life. And say, Holy Spirit, today, guard these gates. Guard me from what I see. When I go on Facebook, Holy Spirit, guard these gates. When I get on the internet, Holy Spirit, guard these gates. When I'm walking through Walmart, Holy Spirit, guard these gates. Because whoever controls the gates controls the city, and I'm in a battle to control the city of my life, my soul, my spirit, and I'm going to submit it to you. Help me control these gates, my ears. I'm going to hear reports that are negative. Somebody's going to lie. Somebody's going to gossip. Somebody's going to tell me there's no hope. Somebody's going to tell me it's over. But let me hear what the Spirit is saying, Lord. Control these gates. True freedom is always sacrificed for. I want to end, if you will stand with me. I'm going to read you the last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. The last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. And I'm going to, everything I read is in there. I may skip a little bit, but everything I read is right in the Declaration of Independence. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world. Who do you think that is? God Almighty. Appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of a right ought to be free and independent states, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Who's that talking about? It's not talking about some general higher power. They're talking about Jesus Christ. That's who our forefathers were talking about. With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Wow. They were able to look and see what America could be. They saw the potential of this great land. And they said, we are willing, mutually. Everybody that signs this is saying, I'm willing to give my life for this. I'm willing to give my fortune for this. And I'm willing to lay my sacred honor on the line that I will fight for the right to birth the United States of America. Wow. Can I tell you today, we are the followers of Christ. God has told us to be one as He and Christ are one. He said when we agree together that no power in hell or on earth can stop us. And I'm calling you today on a day of independence, a day to live free, a day to live in joy, a day to live in life, to also say as a body of Christ that we mutually commit and agree that we will sacrifice our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. We will be the we factor, spirit-filled church of God, and by you gosh, we will set an example to this country and we will bring others into freedom. We agree. What I'm saying is, will you agree this morning to fight for this? Will you agree this morning with the Spirit and with the church and say, we pledge our lives. You want to fight for something, men? Fight for Jesus Christ. You want to live for a goal and win a trophy? Then become a man of God and see what kind of muster you have. Amen? We pledge together our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Today, I want you to walk out of here in freedom. You've already made a decision. As you've heard this word, the Holy Spirit has called you to a decision. I'm going to pray with you that you live in life and freedom when you live here, that you go out and you control the gates that control the city. You live in the Spirit, which is freedom. You live in truth of who you are, which is freedom. And let's live together, committed together, that we'll fight for freedom. To live free in Christ. That means we fight the enemy, not each other. Amen? We don't fight the world. We don't fight each other. We fight Satan. He's our enemy. We fight our own flesh to make it obedient to the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word today. I pray that you truly would bring life and freedom into each life here. You know the appointment that was made today. And God, you have met with every individual. You have spoken to them about their need and about your healing. And I pray in Jesus' name that this be a day of freedom. And I declare it in the spiritual realm today and watching by internet or Facebook Live. Today, be free in Jesus' name. Be set free by the blood of Jesus. I pray that each person would walk in it, Lord. I pray that we as a church would truly pledge together our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to see the name of Jesus Christ lifted high. We thank you for the opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. If the prayer team would come, I'm about to dismiss you. What are you guys going to do for the 4th? I'm smoking a pork shoulder. God's still working on me. This is what happens when he calls an old redneck country boy to be a preacher. He's got to work with what he's got. Aren't you glad he works with what you give him? Hey, he doesn't work with what you lost. He works with what you have left. And he'll take that and multiply it. Ooh, I'm going to preach again. Let me stop. I just want to bless you. After I do, the prayer team is here to pray for you. Some of you have a very serious need today. And I'm going to leave laughing. And we're going to have a good time. And I want you to leave smiling. But you come here and you leave that heavy burden here, okay? You come and pray with one of these people and leave that dark cloud here today with Jesus. And that's what they're here for, to help you walk out of here smiling and joyful in Christ. No matter what your situation is, you can have joy today. May God bless you and keep you. May you live in freedom. May you live in the freedom of the Spirit of God. May joy and laughter spill from the windows and doors of your home this week. May God's peace cover you like a blanket. May your hamburgers and hot dogs and ribs come out good. Don't get hurt trying to water ski and do something you shouldn't. May God bless you and give you life this week. We love you. If you need prayer, please come and get prayer.